Hey, mate, you can't go in there. Mate, it's full of kangaroos and shrub. You'll cut your legs getting in there.
Oh, I'll be all right.
Mate, what are you, some kind of maniac? No one goes out there.
It's okay. I'm a ranger.
A ranger? Well, then you should know. If you're a park ranger, you'd be looking after all that sort of stuff out in the shrub.
No, I'm a Texas ranger.
Oh, well, so you don't? You're not here for the koalas?
I'm up here to uphold justice and the long arm of the law.
All right. Well, cheerio.
Contemplating what's the best day. Watching that movie. I'm the leader moment.
And folks, welcome to episode number 112 here of the Lila Muller podcast. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and tonight we're going to be chatting about one of the most long-lived action series. It's a police procedural drama in Texas with a couple of cowboys, and one of them just happens to be a good kicker. Somebody that you know very well in action circles. That is, of course, Chuck Norris. That's right. The man, the myth, the legend, the legs. We'll be chatting about that tonight. From here, Quinlan's Canteen on the Gold Coast of Australia. We're going to get into some news, some stuff I've been picking up here and there when it comes to action film, and some of the stuff I've been reading about the legend of a certain Bruce Lee. There you go. You got some connections with Chuck there as well. All here on the one, the only, Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Please hang up and try again.
And now, it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Here in the news segment, folks, yes, I've got to tell you, I've been reading this book, which is by Matthew Polly. It is called Bruce Lee, A Life. That's right, Bruce Lee, A Life. One hell of a life, too. Now, Bruce Lee, over the years, you know, there's been so many documentaries because, you know, he's somebody that, went out. Now, let's just say, you know, he passed in the prime of when he was going to be an even bigger celebrity than he was. For the three or four big films in the mainstream that he was known for, particularly leading up to, of course, End of the Dragon, he was one of the greatest, on screen and also real-life martial artists. Now, this is a great biography which not only covers the years of getting into Hollywood films and the Green Hornet show, playing Kato. And that's right, that's the correct pronunciation, folks. It's not Kato, it's Kato. That's right. Those that speak Japanese know what I'm talking about. It is not Kato, although it's probably been said as Kato for so long. It's Kato. Bruce Lee, obviously, is more than just that, you know. He's such a long-lived, legend. But it's interesting to get a book like this where it really strips it down to what the struggles the man went through. Even in the early days in Hong Kong, his early years in the States, going through, obviously, university, studying, I think he was studying psychology. Obviously, too, his, many struggles with the local martial arts communities in and around Seattle, California, all that sort of stuff. And meeting some of the most interesting, characters like Wong Jack Man, characters like, obviously, Dan Inosanto. These are some of these great, and James Lee as well, who went on to then join him in, obviously, his Junfan Gung Fu school, and then, which was primarily Wing Chun. Okay, so, obviously, learning from the legend Ip Man himself. And, of course, that's a character that's now, thanks to Donnie Yen, such a big part of martial arts lore. Always has been, but the movies are bloody fantastic. It's one of those rare examples where you get such a fantastic series of films. Maybe like John Wick, for example, is probably the States equivalent, even though it's a completely different kind of film. When you get the likes of, Donnie playing Ip Man, and the first one's great, the second one's even better, which is a little bit more commercial film. Third one, it just keeps amping up, and obviously they're trying to find different things to do with that style too. But the first one broke down the doors with it. Now, obviously there's been a number of films about Bruce Lee post that, because obviously the person involved in the training at that time was, of course, Bruce Lee learning from Ip Man. Now, in this book, you do get quite a bit of information about Ip Man and what Ip Man was doing with Bruce. Yes, he was definitely the master, but there was also another teacher, a Sifu, that Bruce had as well, which went more the physical application of Wing Chun. But it was then that when he decided, you know, that it's not just about the physical, it's about the spiritual, it's about the psychological as well in martial arts, once you get past those examples. I even saw a interview with Chuck Norris for A Force of One, 1981 interview he did on TV recently, just on YouTube, and it was about him talking about that sort of thing in his own sort of background of martial arts as well. And what he was talking about in that one was that when you're doing the likes of martial arts, for example, there's the physical application of it. And particularly when, he was studying, I believe, Tang Soo Do, then there's obviously, he was talking about how each of the different arts has its name, but the foundry, it really is one and the same. So you have, obviously, in Korea, you have Tang Soo Do and Taekwondo. Japan and Okinawa, you have Karate. And in China, you have Kung Fu. So it's interesting, each one had basically their own term for the hard application of these different techniques. But then he's talking about that next level, which is, of course, the psychological and spiritual angle of those said techniques. And, of course, the moral, sort of learnings you get in those Budo schools, those traditional martial arts schools. You get that one and the same today if you go to one of those traditional schools. But that's where it really gets interesting in this too. This book really goes into depth with a lot of, then also the challenges that he faced. So when he left Hong Kong, after the street fighting sort of circuit that was over there, going to the United States, it was him wanting to learn, where he was learning at university, then also bringing that culture to the United States, teaching Kung Fu, in this case Wing Chun, to, the American people in the universities and stuff like that. And, of course, that's when it ran awry of the local Kung Fu schools. And, of course, he was doing a lot of those demonstrations, which a lot of go into. Now, I'm only about halfway through this book already, and I'm up to that sort of point where he's starting to have, he had his famous fight with some of those, local traditional schools of Kung Fu. All I can say is, folks, check it out. It's really interesting. I've read a lot of books on Bruce Lee, but it's interesting to have one that's not just about the martial arts and the fundamentals and about the movies. It's about the man's life and Linda Lee and obviously the rest too. So hats off to it. So far, it's up there at about 4 out of 5, folks. I've got to read the rest though. We'll give that as a caveat. Now, apart from getting this bad boy, which we're going to talk about very soon, as you can see on my shoulder, we've just had the release of Skeletor. That's right, Master of the Universe. We've got these finally in Australia. They've taken a bloody long time to get here too. But here he is in all of his might. He hasn't had a good makeup day, has he? But, folks, these are great because, I don't know if you can see, there's actually the articulation in these is something sorely lacking from 1980s action figures from Mattel. But, again, we've got the twist of the different positions, the classic lineup back. I've already got Battle Cat and He-Man on the way. That's right. Well, you won't see him in the new series because he's only in for like 5 seconds, but you'll see him if you buy that. Even the classic artwork. I mean, look at that. Good stuff. All right, it's got that. And I've also, if you haven't seen it already on some of the pages I've put up, we've got this little bad boy, this Canon movie pack. Now, this is from Warner Brothers, who bought into, I think, or at least have the back catalogue now of Canon films. Now, this is a great 10-movie pack plus Electric Boogaloo. And you can see, you go, yo, Adrian, he's right there. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, bye! Big Chuck. And, of course, Lundgren. Isn't that great? But, of course, the films are Missing in Action from 84, Invasion USA from 85, 86 Cobra, 86 Delta Force. And actually, I'm going to say, Delta Force held up pretty damn well. The Cobra Edition. Now, for you Aussies that are out there, okay, if you get this, you will get the Australian Special Edition version of Cobra. The only time it's ever been released in Australia. Never been released. That's right. Our pal over there, Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel, warned us that it was a really good edition out, but we've never been able to find it able to play on Australian out here. So I've actually got the Blu-ray and it never played properly. But rest assured, you'll get it in this pack. This is fantastic. You get quite a few features on that. And they even talk about the Jatomatic submachine gun, the car, the Ford Mercury, folks. That's right. And they really have a great commentary on there where even the director's talking about it. He goes, I don't know why Sly used scissors to cut a pizza. Which he does. I mean, he does, folks. He does. You get Masters of the Universe, which is the ultimate cheese. I mean, it is the cheesiest superhero movie, animated adaptation, whatever you want to call it, live action, animation, adaptation, live action, but bloody awesome. Like, it's a cheesy film, and it knows what it is. That's what I love about it. And I mean, Lundgren's always been partial to it. Over the top, great arm wrestling film. If you have not seen this flick, it's great. You get the general from Independence Day in this. And he's also in, what was it, Scarface, you know, when Tony Montana is doing strutting his stuff, he goes, I'm going to end you, man. Hey, man. You know, that guy, you know, like he goes straight off. But he's the protagonist, obviously, you know. With Sly, it's a father and son story. The wife in the picture itself is one that's terminally ill. Bloody awesome film, and again, still haven't seen the print that's on this yet. I'm about halfway through watching those. We have the ultimate mullet movie in this, The Hitman, from 1991. Still canon, still cool. And in this one, Chuck is playing literally a hitman with a big-ass mullet and a toothpick and a trench coat. I think he stole the idea for a certain Jean-Claude Van Damme, Von Varenberg. And also, Hellbound. Chuck Norris stars as a Chicago policeman who, while on a murder investigation in the Holy Land, discovers a powerful satanic messenger has been restored to life. Sounds a bit John Carpenter, but he didn't do that. So you get that, but you also get Electric Boogaloo. Now, this is also about, of course, the Canon Film Pictures guys. Classic story. You gotta check that out if you haven't already. It's all about that. I've got the Blu-ray of it already, but I want to see this edition because it does seem to have an extra 30 minutes plus deleted scenes. Pretty damn awesome. All right. That's all we have for the news time.
Hi. Mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah.
What shall it be?
Oh, yeah,
man, it's been real busy day, you know? Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
Mate.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage, and enjoy the show, films and all that sort of stuff. You know?
Well, here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat.
Well, folks, you can find this podcast on Podbean. That's right, LethalMulletNetwork.podbean.com. You can also find it on our sister channel. That's right. And, of course, the FPN, and all the back catalogue of shows before we turned over to this network are on there. You can find it at, of course, fbnet.popbean.com. That's right. I bet you can't say that too fast, eh? fbnet.popbean.com. There you go. Obviously, you can find us on social at The Lethal Mullet. So on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We did have a TikTok going, folks, but wipe that. It's too much to control and catch up with. All right. So let's get into a little bit of chat about Chuck. All right. Here we are in the pub, folks. Chatting Chuck Norris. So, what do we know about Chuck? Well, we know he's karate master, Tang Sudo master. Obviously, he's a world champion, US champion as well, obviously, of karate. And obviously, well-known for his films and stuff like that. And, of course, well-known for his facts. You know, the old, you know, Chuck Norris could stop a bullet with his teeth. You know, all that sort of stuff. But the man is very real, and obviously he's also a very, very cool action star. So what we're going to be talking about tonight is something that he had an idea with all the way back when he was doing Lone Wolf McQuade, where he played a very similar cowboy-like cop. Lone Wolf McQuade is pretty much a karate film mixed with spaghetti western. It is Chuck Norris versus David Carradine, Kung Fu guy, right? Which is an interesting story in itself. And I have chatted Lone Wolf McQuade here many, many years ago, folks. So go and check that back catalogue one out for yourself. But this was the idea. He basically was inspired to do a TV show where he could, do episodic police procedural stuff. And, you know, he always thought of the Texas Rangers as a way of doing it after doing that film. So this show started in 1993 after three pilots were done. So basically, they were like almost like movies, really. And that was all put into a big first season, which really is the second season, if you like, folks. And of course, these three pilot episodes were really good. What you got was some great acting. We got a cast that was just top notch. Really, really good cast. And we're going to go through that very, very soon. But I think the central thing is Chuck plays well with a good cast. He knows, obviously, he's not the world's greatest actor, but playing off people works. His delivery with one-liners is great because he's got that zero charisma reading when he does them, you know. A classic, perfect example would be Delta Force. You know, you get the terrorist has just been killed and the radio he's using is still turned on. And he goes, hey, American, are you there? Hey, can you hear me? And then, of course, he's got the Uzi pointed at the radio. He goes, loud and clear. Brrsh. And just wipes it out. That's the kind of delivery you get in a Chuck Norris film. And, well, you get very similar in this TV show. Now, this series went for quite a while. I remember, you know, I actually thought this series was still going. That's what's amazed me so much in doing, you know, what little research I have done on this one, to really, you know, sit down and think about, you know, this film that came out after the TV show as well, like a TV movie or whatever they did with it. It's great because, again, he sort of continued that same theme, the same feel all the way through to it. You know, it's a very moralistic sort of a structure to the stories. Obviously, there's, you know, some deep parts when they go into, you know, the real world of crime and stuff like that. Those sorts of parts of the show were really interesting. And I think particularly pitting it in with martial arts is about that stuff. You know, it's about, it's not just about the punches, the kicks, the blocks and all that sort of stuff. It is also about changing who you are for the better, you know. And morally is one of those as well. Now, the show was initially brought together by the producer, Alison Moore, who had this idea, obviously, of the show. And, of course, the other one involved in it was Babylon 5's own J. Michael Straczynski, folks, before he did Babylon 5, believe it or not. So he actually fell out of the project into actually kickstart B5. And, I mean, looks worked out for the best. We've got Babylon 5, one of the greatest... you know, space operas, if you like, you know, out there. It is a fantastic novel of a series, you know, five seasons of an amazing TV show. And he's without a doubt the best writer for TV, always has been. And what a show. It's a show in itself, but we don't need to chat about that too. And it's great. It's about a sergeant by the name of Cordell Walker. Obviously, Walker, Texas Ranger, just runs off the tongue. It's a great name. And, of course, he's based in Dallas-Fort Worth and a member of the Texas Rangers. Now, just putting the show aside, what I know of Texas Rangers is, you know, the history. You know, I've seen plenty of documentaries. And we get a lot out here on Foxtel, our cable channel out here, and, you know, with streaming and stuff like that. A lot of great stuff about the old Texas Rangers from the old days, going right back to, you know, the West, before the West as well. And they always talked about the, you know, the different ways that these guys settle things, you know. You know, one crisis, one ranger. So they obviously got a reputation. And that's what's interesting about, you know, I mean, it works for Chuck. Works very well with Chuck Norris being involved in that because that's who the guy is. You know, he is that action guy who is, you know, morally right, always there, will always go where it needs to get things done. And that's what's really, really interesting in this too. Now, he was raised by his paternal uncle, an American Indian, by the name of Ray Firewalker. Now, you might remember a film he did with Lou Gossett Jr. I do believe it's a canon film as well, folks, called Firewalker. Now, Firewalker is an interesting film in its own right because it's not the greatest action film out there, but it is Chuck's attempt to do comedy along with, you know, the likes of Lou, who's, I mean, Louis Gossett Jr. already had that down. You know, he's such a good actor, he can play off that. But what's interesting is Chuck really gave it a shot. I mean, a really, really good shot at being comedic and that. And, you know, he's got the charisma for it. He can actually pull that stuff off. He's not just the action guy, you know, and he's not just the martial arts guy. And I think that's what works so well in this in particular. You know, it works for the character too. Now, obviously, Walker itself could be a nod to Firewalker. You know, it could be that was what they wanted to sort of bring in that name. But, I mean, I think Walker Texas Ranger just, you know, it runs off it so well. You know, it's a Western cowboy name. It's just is, simple as that. Now, obviously, too, he's got a military background in it. I believe it was Marine Force Recon or whatever it is in Vietnam. So it's interesting having that there, too. He's sort of got a touch on the military side as well. Something that, of course, very important to Chuck, because Chuck was in the forces as well. It was US Air Force, I think, if I remember right. Obviously, with that, you know, he's paying homage to, you know, those that are out there too. And I think that's, again, it's great. A lot of actually the late 50s, early 60s, when, you know, young men were conscripted in the forces or were abroad, whether it be Vietnam or, you know, with the Australians, it was Vietnam, Borneo, all that sort of stuff. You know, they got a chance to actually see some of these martial arts and stuff like that in person. You know, there's other martial arts out there that have done, like Joe Louis. Was it Joe Louis? Yeah, I remember. But anyway, some of these great martial artists that sort of had a feeling good when they've been stationed in Okinawa or wherever it is. And, you know, they do their time through the day on the job, and then off the job they can go and actually train. I mean, if you've got the energy, why not? And I think that's what makes it really interesting. We get to see some of that too. Now, in this, he has a partner in this by the name of Clarence Gilliard, who plays James or Jimmy Trivette. Very, very cool actor. Now, you've seen this guy in a lot of stuff. Very famous films. First one I saw him in, Die Hard. Yep, in Die Hard, he played the computer expert helping the terrorists get into the safe. And, well, they're not really terrorists, folks, were they? They were criminals. Mm-hmm. So, in that, he also had the role of Sundown in, of course, Top Gun. And this is after Goose has died, and Maverick's just, you know, not in the game. Maverick's literally like, oh, yeah, just another flight. And then, of course, he's got that scene where they're coming towards the camera. He goes, hey, man, we could have had him, man. We could have had him, man. And he's like, I will get it when I'm good and ready. Some great acting from the shortest actor in the world. But great in this, too. He was in Matlock as well. But one of the great things is he plays well off Chuck. And it's, I mean, they both handle the action really, really well. These first couple episodes in particular, which we'll obviously get into some of the bad guys in this as well, which really make that first couple episodes really, really interesting. Now, along with it, we have, of course, very, very well-known actor, the late Noble Henry Willingham Jr., passed away sadly in 2004, known for quite a few movies, which we all know well, and of course, one of them being The Last Boy Scout. That's right. Of course, he plays one of the owners of the football team, I think it was in The Last Boy Scout, if I remember right. I mean, I could just rattle off some of these. Here's some of the movies this guy's been in. Chinatown, right, that's a start. Independence Day, Good Morning Vietnam. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Hudsucker Proxy, City Slickers 2, Up Close and Personal, Harry's War, The Howling, Brubaker, The Boys and Company, Grease Lightning. See? So there's quite a few movies, and of course he's been a lot of TV shows as well. I mean, to say that he's in part of those things, it's just amazing, you know, that they've got all those parts in there. So what's interesting for me is that, you know, you get to see him play opposite you know, Chuck, and he's really good in this as this older, retired ex-partner of Chuck's. And you know what I love about it? I think it's just, you know, it's great to have that caliber of actor around Chuck. It makes Chuck better. You know, it does. I mean, you know, this is the key thing. Films like Under Siege, Seagal, you know, he's not really an actor as such. He's a martial artist doing some acting, right? But he's up with Tommy Lee Jones, with Gary Busey, you know, Cole Meany. I mean, you would not have thought Cole Meany to do an action movie, but he was the alpha male. Action movies at the time, you had to have martial arts to be a pop action star in that time. And that's why they were doing these things. And what's great about it is that you get that sort of mentor figure, but also good pal there to listen to, you know, the likes of Walker. Now, got to talk about some of the action in this. Not only are you going to have great action as far as car chases and stuff, some of this stuff, particularly in the first two or three episodes, car-wise, and he, of course, he's in this big truck, which we'll get to in a sec, which we call a ute out here in Australia, folks. All right. What's really interesting, right, is that we've got, in this one in particular, this scene where it's literally the truck is going just as fast as some of those hotter-up cars and stuff. And obviously, I mean, in Hollywood, or in this case, was it Texas, cars used are obviously souped-up V8s, and they've probably got superchargers in them and stuff like that to make them go faster, to make them look like, and then pull off all that stuff. I mean, they are. They're given the power plant to do what they need to do to make it look good, right? But the action scenes are as good as a cinema film, you know, a film at the features. It just is. And it comes down to the actual action itself. Now, watching Chuck in movies is one thing, but on, you know, doing a procedural show, in this case a police one, you know, there's obviously a policeman's going to use a certain amount of force. Chuck, with restraint, still pulls off some of the coolest moves, kicks in particular too, and they're snappy. You know, what would Chuck have been here? Maybe mid to late 50s, maybe somewhere in there, you know, or early 50s at least. What the great thing about it is the speed, accuracy of the hits, and just even some of the moves, which are very, gotta say, Aikido-like. You know, he's always had a lot of those restraint flips, throws, locks, joints, pins, used in the style he used to do, you know. It's very similar to that. But what's done here is done really, really well. It's more in that sort of, he's training jiu-jitsu as well as karate. So I think that's what's coming out there is a lot of those great locks. Pins, arm bars, you know, throw it over the arm. We get to see all that. And that's what's so good. Because the first bad guy, folks, first episode is Marshall Teague. Now, what episode did we do recently where we covered Marshall Teague? It was none other than Roadhouse. Okay, not too long after Roadhouse, he did this film. And it's interesting that he also did a J. Michael Straczynski project after this. About a year later, he's playing a character in Babylon 5. And who started this show? J. Michael Straczynski. Woo! Very cool. So, gotta love that. Gotta love it. That's really awesome. But that's the great thing about it is the professionality of the fights are done in such a way that also, I think, gives honour to the actual rangers themselves, or just law enforcement that are doing this job out there too, who can't just go all out and destroy people with their hands, you know, if they're good at that sort of stuff. There's going to be a certain amount of restraint, but also, you know, if you have to use it, you have to use it. So that's what's great about it too. I think it really pulls off quite well. But there's also a moralistic story here too, where we get to see, obviously, a young lady who's been abused. And Chuck comes out, talks about some of the darker chapters in his character's life there too. But also helps that person get through it, get past it, and also find the person that was responsible and take him to justice. That's what the show's about, folks. It really is a modern-day Western in a series. Now, what I love about it is I've watched now this first season. And I'm at a point where, you know, do I continue? But it's that good. Yes, I will. You know, it's Magnum without the laughs. You know, but with kicks instead. Check out the laughs, you get the kicks instead. And that's what works. Chuck has a certain charisma, plays off the others well. But I think, and the other thing too is, I think there was a certain mysticism, Now, obviously, he has a Native American background in this. His family through Floyd Red Crow Westerman plays the his uncle in this, and he's using some of that after obviously do not spoil it too much. The first few episodes deal with the loss of a fellow young Texas Ranger. And in that part of the story is that he's sort of dealing with, does he go for revenge or does he seek justice? How does he go about that? And, of course, part of that is channeling in his inner spirit, which, you know, not only is it for that sort of mythology, but it's also a true martial arts way of doing things. And if anything, it's bringing to the fore, you know, Chuck's own experience of not only the physical aspects. And it goes back to Bloodsport. It's what Senzo Tanaka, Shidoshi Tanaka says. He talks about, you know, martial science. You know, it's not just an art, it's a science as well. Talking about the, you know, the body, the spirit, and the mind together as one. And that's what it does. And in this show, we definitely see that. Texas Ranger. Where do we see it? On, of course, the Hell and Back Five. Well, folks, I'm going to give it solid five. Yeah, that first season is crackers. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Not only are you going to get car action, shootouts, great laughs between Chuck and at least, I think, with Jimmy, is offside. It's just fantastic. They really play off of each other well. But also, just the speed of things, too. You know, it's got a great, it's not just stopping in a scene and doing the scientific stuff of breaking down the crime and all that sort of thing. You're not going to see that. Chuck doesn't worry about that. What he does worry about is good action. And you're going to get it in this show. So you got to check it out, folks. It's awesome. All right. So, folks, the other thing that did pop up this week is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino, which will be the next on the old reading shelf. I'm going to read that, go through it, check it out. And we'll just see these extended scenes, whether they are up to the mustard that we hear he is. And of course, it's his first novel, so let's give him that much at least. All right, that's it for us here on episode number 112 of course, the Leave the Mullah podcast. I shall see you very shortly, ladies and gentlemen. We've also got, of course, the one, the only Making Treks of Star Trek fan podcast coming to you later this week with, of course, Mark Newbold of Fanta Treks. And, of course, Making Treks and Making Treks. I wonder if he gets confused on that one.
G'day man, how you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host Mark Newbold into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsus on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. but also the Hair Metal Podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well, hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good